there are still Democrats running for president in 2016. Republicans swallowed up all the oxygen in the political universe when they squared off in their second debate on Wednesday in California. It has been a busy few days, so let's get to our 2016 political roundtable.
Here and now,
2016.
The year we'll actually get here eventually. What will we play then? Okay, well, Molly Ball is staff writer for The Atlantic. She covers politics for the 2016 campaigns. Hi there, Molly.
Hi.
And Michael Shearer is Washington bureau chief for Time Magazine. He also joins us. Hi, Michael.
Hey there.
So let's start with Carly Fiorina. She's widely seen as having had a very strong performance in that second debate this week. Molly, let's start with you. How has she handled the spotlight since then?
Well, you know, we got a preview of this in the first debate when she was at the JV debate beforehand and sort of hit it out of the park. And so I think expectations for her were very high coming onto the big stage, and she still managed to exceed them. She was sort of the only candidate who's managed to put Donald Trump in his place and had a number of really strong, powerful answers and just really showed herself to be very quick on her feet, very deft. I think her campaign is now has to prove that they can turn that into actual momentum. One thing that we saw with her before was that even when people really liked her performance in the debate, they weren't sure that she was their first choice. Mm. So one thing that she started saying in her speeches is, you know, I know I'm one of your top choices. Please make me your first choice. Put me above the other candidates. And so there's a bit of a hurdle there for her trying to convince people that that she could actually be president as someone who has never won elected office before.
And maybe as a result of this new success that she's finding, she is in the line of fire more. And she made some statements like this in Wednesday's debate about the secretly recorded videos of Planned Parenthood staff discussing fetal tissue research.
I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama to watch these tapes, watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking. While someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain.
That was one of the most memorable moments from the debate. Planned Parenthood Action Fund has sent Fiorina a letter and a memo yesterday saying that the images show nothing like what Carly Fiorina said they do. They said they have nothing to do with Planned Parenthood, and the video footage that she claims exists does not exist. So what does this mean for Carly Fiorina going forward? Does it help her or hurt her, Michael?
Well, you know, you just heard in her voice there what makes her so effective as a candidate. We're in a political cycle here where outrage is the main emotion that Republican voters are feeling, and it's hard to find a soundbite from the last 2 years of any politician that expresses more outrage than that. Of course, as you mentioned, it's not true what she's saying. There is no video that shows that. What she's referring to is an undercover video of someone describing something they said they saw happen in which an abortion was performed and a fetus was outside the mother and still alive, and there was a discussion of using the tissue. But I don't think that's going to hurt her with Republican voters. I mean, the outrage over Planned Parenthood and what's been in those videos, the discussion of using fetal tissue for medical purposes is incredibly broad. And what she's doing there is channeling that fury.
This will be an issue for her maybe coming up in the general election if she were to make it that far.
Yeah, I think although it's also true that almost all general elections that in our lifetime have, had one pro-life candidate and one pro-choice candidate, and it rarely is a deciding issue for many voters. Yeah. I think she has a much longer way to go to get to a general election. I mean, she is an incredible performer. I think she did very well last night. I think there's going to be a lot more scrutiny on her. Her weakness has always been on her record. She doesn't have a very successful record as a corporate executive. She didn't have a successful record as a Senate candidate in California the last time she ran. And so as scrutiny grows on her, she has a lot of work cut out for her.
Well, Michael, you mentioned the sort of sense of outrage that we've been hearing a lot about so far in this primary season. We heard a little more of that also this week from a supporter of Donald Trump just last night, actually. And Trump is taking some heat for not pushing back against this voter who was saying in a rally that President Obama is a Muslim and not an American. So let's listen.
Muslims. We know our current president is one.
Right. You know he's not even an American.
We need this
birth certificate, man. But anyway, we have training camps growing where they want to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. When can we get rid of it?
We're going to be looking at a lot of different things. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that.
All right, so that's Donald Trump there responding sort of to a voter claiming that the president is not an American. I mean, Molly, has this been a bad week for Trump? I mean, he's taking heat for that, plus for what some people are calling his lackluster performance at the debate.
Well, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, it's hard to get outraged by anything Donald Trump says or does because he has continually stepped into these offensive situations and egged on the people who believe crazy things. I mean, he himself was on the warpath for President Obama's birth certificate for a long time and has indicated that he still isn't quite satisfied by that. So, you know, there's a degree to which some of this is just the Trump show. It's him putting on a spectacle, and to the degree that we react like we would if a regular politician said these things, we're just sort of playing into that.
Right, exactly. No one should be surprised that a birther was at a Trump rally.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's very deliberately sort of played to those people, and I you know, not even very very subtly. But I do think that Trump had a not great performance at the debate. And what I thought was really interesting was after this debate where he wasn't even relevant for long stretches of time, which is unusual for him, where he seemed tired at the end of it, where he was sort of not his usual self, like with the quips and the comebacks, he didn't even make an attempt to sort of come back from that. I mean, in the first debate, he went straight into the spin room and started going after Megyn Kelly. And that gave him a new story, a new conflict, a new controversy that took the attention off of what he'd actually said in the debate. This time, he doesn't even really seem to be trying. So this thing happens with the guy at the rally, but Trump himself has not really been fanning the flames. And in fact, I just got word via a press release that he has canceled the appearance that he had planned for tonight, where he was supposed to speak at a big rally with many candidates in South Carolina. So I don't know what's going on with Trump now.
Well, I promised that there were Democrats in this race. So let's move away from the debate for just a minute. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Last night, she was on late night TV with Jimmy Fallon, and they poked fun at Donald Trump. Here we go. With his views of women. In this skit, Clinton took a phone call from Fallon, who was impersonating Donald Trump.
You know, I'm really curious, Donald. What is your stance on women's issues?
Look, I know a lot of women, and they all have issues.
And if I said it was last night, it was Wednesday night, I believe. Anyways, a big part for Hillary Clinton in this campaign, in this race, is to loosen up a little bit. People have said that she feels a little unfriendly, not so warm. How did she do her performance here with Jimmy Fallon? Michael, let's go to you.
Yeah, I think she's been doing much better in the last few weeks. I mean, she has never been a good candidate. I don't think she will be a good candidate, when voters go to the polls in the primaries, or if she makes it through in the general election. But she has to be better than she has been over the last several months. And we had months when these email scandals were coming out, in which her public appearances were just really bad. She was awkward. She was defensive. She was wrong in a lot of the things she was saying. She was saying things that were factually inaccurate. And I think over the last 2 weeks, we've seen a few interviews now and these appearances in which she's sort of finding her voice a little better. And this is crucial for the campaign. If you talk to people in Brooklyn at her headquarters, they still talk about needing to introduce probably the most well-known woman politician in American history to the American people. And their hope is that they can get people to take, especially independent voters, another look at her. And these sort of interviews are really crucial to making that happen.
Well, in the last couple seconds that we have, let's talk about maybe were there other surprises, other moments from the week that we should be paying attention to, Molly?
Oh, well, I really think that the debate dominated the week. But I would say, to Michael's point, you know, the Republican chaos is the best thing happening for Hillary Clinton, because other than that, things are not going well for her. She's got a really unexpectedly stiff challenge in the primary, and she's behind in a couple of the early states. Her unfavorable ratings are through the roof. So she really does need to turn around the perceptions of her that are quite negative right now. And I think Michael's exactly right. This softening her up is her campaign's attempt to do that.
And there's a parallel story going on the Republican side with Jeb Bush. And we saw sort of an evolution in this debate from the first debate for Jeb. He's really still trying to find his voice. He has to be more aggressive. And if you go back and watch some of those exchanges he had with Trump, and there were a number of one-on-one battles they had, he was trying to find his tough guy voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things mm-hmm. we have to watch going forward.
Michael Shear, a Washington bureau chief for Time Magazine. Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic, covering politics and the 2016 campaign. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.